Welcome to Shutdown Fullcast. This is the internet's only college football podcast. That statement, 100% true. We couldn't say it if it weren't legally true. That's how carefully regulated podcasts are. I'm Spencer Hall. Let's see who else we got on this thing. We got Jason Kirk. Oh, hey, Jason.
FCS number two.
Calling live from Plankonia.
Up from FCS number three.
Kennesaw State Zone. Hooty Hoo. Our finest owl in the house. Ryan Nanny? We have a Ryan here.
Yeah, I didn't poop the bed.
Oh, good job.
Yeah,
buddy.
I did not poop the
bed. What do you, like today? Like you're done with pooping the bed?
When it was alleged. Because listen, podcasts are forever, and I don't want somebody to be listening to this far into the future come up to me when I'm 84 and be like, hey, listen to this. And it's me saying, I didn't poop the bed. And then they point to my bedpan and say, sure did, fuckface.
That's yeah, common.
Because then you'd be a liar. Because
right.
Buddy, you're going to poop the bed.
It's 100%. That you think the internet will provide you with enough of an income to be able to afford medical care.
I think all we're talking about is a bedpan.
For men.
For men.
Just like he'll be able to afford a bucket.
It's a bod pan.
No, I think actually what Holly's saying is that the internet won't even give me bucket money.
Won't even give me bucket money.
You know not how
even
to steal a money. Bucket?
That's different than having the income. That's fine. But that's not
Charlie
having.
Charlie Bucket got his name in Willy Wonka.
Damn.
I enjoy that in Willy Wonka, they're like, they're so poor, they're all sleeping in the same bed.
With a bedpan.
With a bedpan.
They all shit in the same bed.
That's such a different understanding of, like, there are so many moments in children's movies where you go, wow, that's a level of poverty that actually existed that I thought was a joke. Damn.
I mean, it's kind of kind, because realistically, at least two of those grandparents would be dead.
I also enjoy that Charlie.
Three of them are kind of useless.
Yeah. Charlie Bucket's grandfather just goes to bed because he's sad. Right.
I mean, listen, watch the movie again, the original, don't watch the new one. There's no proof that Charlie and his grandpa ever go back to that house.
Yeah, or that they survive.
I like that part.
What makes you think that thing can land?
Like, Willy Wonka's got an Elon Musk vibe about him. That guy is draining Charlie's blood.
Yeah. I'm going to buy back the factory from the investors. You're also hearing the dulcet tones of Holly Anderson. Properly mic'd this week. We have her properly mic'd. That was my fault.
Until you give Holly $100,000, we won't buy her a mic.
Yeah.
See? Yeah. We can make this work for you, Holly.
Yeah.
If you see on my tax return, $100,000 podcast equipment, I've developed a serious drug problem.
Elon Musk probably has done that too, though, but not for drug reasons.
What, put podcast?
Podcast equipment, $100,000 on it.
With three question marks after it on his tax return.
Podcast? I think you'd get away with that, you know. Because, like, who knows what a podcast is? No one.
Yeah, and people look and they're like, well, if Elon's doing it, of course it costs $100,000.
I was told this week that the podcast bubble is burst, so congratulations, everybody. We killed it.
Yay!
Does that mean that we are the like small mammals that survive the meteorite?
Yeah,
we're the tardigrade.
Yeah. Could survive in space.
This is the Great Valley and we're just up here eating tree stars.
Does this mean we can be done? Can we just end the podcast right here? The podcast bubble
no,
is burst.
We have to carry the fire, Ryan.
Good night, folks.
Oh. I like Ryan's idea.
No, we're in the road now. We're just living off canned fruit. Toting our little shopping basket around the post-apocalypse of podcastum.
I do want to go to bed because I'm sad.
How dope would it be to be the last podcast? And everyone's just stuck downloading you.
We can't hear anything. Too bad.
The radiation outside sounds better.
They talked about the SEC East for 12 minutes. Too bad.
Like, subscribe, subsist.
Get inside, mutant lizards will eat you.
That's just Henry. He's friendly.
Henry's an Auburn fan. Ew!
There are two Florida grads on this podcast, so mutant lizards would be, you know, it's not too far a step. We are coming up.
I didn't poop the bed.
In summary,
the last 12 hours.
We are coming up. I'm going to do this again. You ready?
Yeah, sorry.
You ready?
I'm going to throw some muscle confusion at you, all right?
Okay.
6, 8, 10, 3, 4, 2, 12.
Nice 7, try, but we're going 9, into week
8.
7.
You just
7.
Overcame adversity.
At what point are we going to tell him he fucked up like 3 weeks ago?
You fucked up the count. This is week 5, sir.
No, I'm just going to do what we actually do with calendars and be like, too bad. Start it over.
too bad. Like, no, we're just continuing. Like,
yeah, we're just going with it.
Guess today's the 13th now.
That's basically what the Gregorians did.
Yeah.
That had to have happened. Wait, it'd be like, oh, wait, it's actually the year 733? Oh, well, we already put it down as 735, so we're just going to go with that.
We printed novelty cocktail napkins.
Mm-hmm.
The king won't give us another set, so we're going to go with these novelty cocktail
napkins. We either
napkins.
Lie to the king, who's drunk all the time, or we can get beheaded.
Can I give you, though, a little something, though? If we just, you know...
Is it a head?
If we just go with... No. If we just go
it's
with...
It's never a head.
Damn it. It's America's favorite holiday gift, and Holly never gets one. A human head.
I mean, in some ways, that is an unfortunately accurate Columbus Day gift, so...
Yeah, I really enjoyed all of the people pointing out that every Native American mascot themed team lost. And I was like, stop. Just stop. It's not.
You know, as a lifelong Red Sox fan, I. Ow.
If you did go ahead and reset the calendar, what would you get? Extra eligibility. Don't think Nick Saban's not in favor of it. 3 red shirts? If I could just set the clock back? Amazing.
Roster savings time. That's what we need.
How many people do you have on scholarship? Well, it depends on how you count the calendar.
Isn't there something fucked up in Indiana with daylight savings? Don't they just ignore it or something like that?
Yeah, and Arizona both. Yeah. They're like, nah.
Yeah, so...
I feel like Arizona
but
does
it's it. Not all it's in one of those states at least it's not all of the state
it's just like a couple counties. Cities and counties yeah
I feel
which
like
I love I find metal as fuck
yeah it's like this you stepped into the time vortex
I think they should go even more metal and just be like it's actually 12 hours ahead here fuck you welcome to Phoenix it's Thursday
I feel like Arizona does it because of some sort of Bass
racism?
Act where it's libertarian
racism?
Stupidity.
Is it probably
racism?
Be racist,
yeah.
It's got to be
racism.
Let's
assume it's racism. Yeah.
It is.
Barack Obama invented daylight savings. No, he didn't.
Well, you know how you guys didn't want Martin Luther King Day? Yeah, well, we don't want whatever this is, too. You didn't really let me... We don't want it.
I feel like Indiana just does it because they're lazy. It's like the sweatpants of states. Right? They're like, well, you have to move your clock. And they're like, no, we're not doing that. It's hard.
That sounds spicy.
Patrick from SpongeBob Ass State. I'm going to go sleep under this rock.
It's easy. There's a setting on your microwave. Yeah, baked potato. I know.
I know it well. That's my home screen.
That's my breakfast.
Change the clock. It's 12 o'clock. It's always 12 o'clock.
The time is...
Good morning, it's potato time.
The time is always blinking 12 o'clock, which indicates the power just went out.
It's blinking PTTO.
In Indiana, the all the power goes out every 60 seconds.
Oh boy, potato! The clock said so.
Potato time.
I know what time it is. Colts game is on.
It's potato savings time. No, no, not so fast. These potatoes are doomed.
Yeah, DST stands for dressing on the side. Thanks.
Oh, they never. Is Andrew Luck a slut by Indianapolis terms? Oh, wait. Look at him. What? Look at him with his saucy attitude. Look at him, that whore.
Wait, where did what?
Ryan really shit the bed on that one.
I did not shit the bed.
Au contraire, you just did.
What? Because I called Andrew Luck a slut?
That you even introduced the idea that he's just not a Ken doll. I don't want to think about
to not be sexually positive about weird looking men.
I don't want to think about Settlers of Catan Sasquatch taking his pants off, okay?
Oh, Jesus, when you put it that way.
I got your victory point right here.
Oh. I'll trade you one stick.
Oh, yeah, he's trading for wood.
Well, I have the longest road now. Look who's in here.
Craft beer gigolo.
Oh, girl. God,
see?
Hey, girl, in Andrew Luck voice, and it sounds like I'm drowning.
You're talking to Burl Ives. See, this was a productive discussion. You're welcome.
Now I'm thoroughly horrified. I will move to podcast business because we have a little bit of podcast business.
A little bit of what?
Podcast business. What's that business? Podcast business. What's that business? Business,
Dick.
Business, podcast business. Yeah,
podcast business, Dick. Podcast business, sheep.
The podcast business for tonight. We do really endorse and approve of almost all of your charitable giving. I'm sure some of you are just writing checks to like absolute swindlers out there, and you do what makes you happy. But we're probably not going to shout them out.
Maybe you're a Rutgers booster. Think about that. Those are real people.
Stop sending us letters.
They're out there and they're real. I mean, the Maryland boosters are real. And by the way,
they're not real on the plane.
No, all due praise to Maryland. I want to know
they're
that.
Very grounded.
Man. Okay, so we'll
very we, down to earth.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
That was a pun.
That was good.
Thank you.
Because I want to know that conversation. But podcast business first. We do occasionally enjoy shouting out other people's work and encourage you to give, contribute, and help along the way. This one is particularly near and dear to the hearts of, I think, Big Ten fans and the fans of The Absurd Everywhere. That would be Team Chair, a.k.a. the minds behind the broken chair trophy.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Full name, please.
That would be the $5 bits of broken chair trophy.
Thank you. Honor them.
Yes. That I believe is split between between Minnesota and Nebraska as their rivalry trophy. The finest. It's the second finest rivalry trophy in the Big Ten. Floyd of Rosedale rules because Floyd of Rosedale is just a huge metal pig, which is magnificent.
Which could only be improved by being an actual pig.
Yes, which it was at one point.
We can't prove that he won't come alive Ghostbuster style.
No, we really can't. I still think Floyd should be real, though. I think Floyd should be like 100% real. He should
like
just
a shared custody pig.
Right. You can't eat him. That's the only rule with Floyd.
Kirk Ferentz said he's down to bring him back, down to bring alive Floyd back. So
really?
Yeah. Yeah. Kirk said that.
You know why? It's because Kirk wants to sell it for a profit.
Kirk's big about bringing home the bacon.
Yeah.
I think the main thing is it wouldn't leave. So he would have a pet because what's Minnesota going to win it back? That's not happening.
That's true. They'd cry, right? They'd weep bitter tears if it were actually like the team's pet, right? They'd be like, "They're Jim Floyd! You sons of bitches!
We're gonna come back for you!"
The offensive linemen are to that pig.
I know! Oh. I don't want to see like a really sensitive 20-year-old 330-pound right guard cry. I don't.
I lived with you for 3 years.
They're following the other team off the field like, "Okay, and when he cries during a storm, here's his favorite blanket.
He loves to watch Moana."
Floyd, we made love.
Oh, God, I'm getting sad just thinking about this.
I'm only
anyway, the $5
for you next year, Floyd.
Moving. The $5 bits of broken chair trophy, Spencer.
Yeah, they do the $5 bits of broken chair trophy, not just a funny internet meme or joke. No, a real trophy. In addition to that, they do what they call charity work.
I don't get it.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of this terrible pun.
It's just because like it's a seat.
It's because Cher endorses it.
They raise funds.
Cher endorses it just as much as the University of Nebraska does.
They raise funds for two different charities. One, the Team Jack Foundation, which is through Nebraska, which honors a young cancer patient who I believe Team Jack was. Jack was the kid who ran the touchdown back. If you've ever seen that highlight, that is Jack who ran a touchdown in the spring game. And then the University of Minnesota Masonic Children's Hospital is their other charity.
Which is not a hospital for Masonic children only.
How did you know I was about to ask?
No. You don't have to be a Mason to be treated there.
I mean,
there's no secret handshake in the ER.
That's pretty fucking metal. I think that's...
Yeah.
I think that's canon. That's canon.
I don't know. If you do the secret handshake, maybe they give you like an extra treat in the ER or something. But they'll still patch you up, okay? Take good care of you. This year, the fundraising goal is at 10K. The donation site is at www.brokenchairtrophy.com. Again, pretty easy to remember, www.brokenchairtrophy.com.
Be sure you type three W's.
Yes, three. That's for the World Wide Web.
Just for our own benefit, I would like you to know that it appears scottfrostday.com is available as a website.
Welp. Yeah, we better snatch that up.
And let me check one more thing.
E-D-S-B-S-F-D.
Can that be our new official site? Like, Broken Airboats is treated or pre-owned airboats is treated really well.
You make pre-owned airboats the merch site, and
that's
make
a good
Scott
idea.
Frost-A
that is
hub.
A good idea.
Yeah,
we need this to be as confusing as possible.
Well, let me. Can I check one other thing?
Ryan, can you buy Scott Frost-A?
Hold on. There's one other one I want to throw out there for you to see if you want it. Come on, load, you stupid.
Okay. I guess we could just point them all toward same article.
So we could also get Scott Frost Knight.
Oh.
Ooh, for men.
But both Scott Frost Day and ScottFrostKnight.com are available for cheap.
Was it like Scott Frost Knight with a K?
What about Scott Frost Bite? No, as in a condition where all of our limbs turn black.
What about Scott Lost?
Damn.
Oh.
No, by the time this podcast is released, I will own scottfrostday.com.
Hell yeah.
You're welcome. And you know what? For now,
like proprietor scottfrostday.com.
And for now, I will redirect it to brokenchairtrophy.com. You're welcome, Broken Chair Bros.
Here comes the traffic pipe hose, fire hose.
Pipe hose?
The traffic fire hose that is scottfrostday.com.
Jason's translating directly from English to Chinese back to English in his head.
As the world's only college football podcast, we reach all peoples. John Cena spent like 3 months in China and he came back with a new haircut. So I'm just speaking John Cena's haircut.
You can't see my haircut. It is our preview episode, though, having concluded podcast business. So I did want to go on to the one news item, which I adore, that I don't know. Can you sum up the Maryland case? Can either of you sum up the Maryland case?
The case?
No, not the Maryland whole case, thing? But the incident. The incident with the booster.
They got a jackass booster.
Sure. Who is, there's a booster who is he's a personal injury attorney. He is
the quoted, big dog.
Yeah. He is quoted in an article that's probably like 2 weeks old at this point about how.
Wait, him being a personal injury attorney makes this so much funnier.
Yeah. It also explains a lot because he, amongst several things he had to say, you know, he was sort of like, we don't think that DJ Durkin had a culture of blah, blah, blah at this school. And we think he's the right man, blah, blah, blah. Things that you could at least say are, well, you have, you know, a certain perspective on the program and you don't know everything. And I get why you say that. But the real kind of fucked up thing that he said.
I have the quote if you just want to let him.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Go ahead.
If you want to let the gentleman named Rick Jatlish.
Rick, yeah. Well, go ahead, let him speak for himself. That's fine.
The big dog. Mm-hmm. Personal attorney. Personal injury attorneys. As much as we hate to say this, Jordan didn't do what Jordan was supposed to do. A trainer like Wes Robinson thinks the kid's properly hydrated and runs a drill set up for kids that are properly hydrated. And when the kid didn't drink the gallon he knew he had to drink, that's going to send the wrong signal to the people running the drill.
So that is in reference to the fact that a gallon of water that had been given to Jordan McNair was in his locker, apparently not having been drank. And that may have been in some very legalistic way, you know, legal theory way, a contributing cause to his death. It ignores all of the fact that, you know, they didn't, you know, assess his temperature on the field or cool him down right away or get an ambulance there in time or even give the ambulance good directions so that they could get there efficiently and, you know, all of the other fucked up missteps. But our friend, the personal injury attorney, who, again, his brain is corrupted to the point where this is how he thinks about the world in terms of assigning shares of fault and divvying up blame in ways that will be financially advantageous to his side. It's just how his brain works these days. What happened to him, Spencer?
So the charter trip starts to leave for Ann Arbor for Maryland's game against Michigan. And some players saw his name on the itinerary and took objection to him being on the charter flight. And he didn't get on that plane. Which I want to know, like, just the math in my head is this. Oh, okay. I got like 10 offensive and defensive linemen who are telling me not to get on a plane.
I mean, we can play this out. Can you be the attorney and I'll be a Maryland football player?
I'm sorry. I thought I was getting on the plane.
No. Nope.
Blame dead
football players.
The end. But I just.
Nope.
Okay.
Yep. That's how that went.
I'm sure he took this with equanimity.
He actually did publicly, but the kind of equanimity that still didn't help his case. Because he kind of sounded like, oh, yeah, you know, they could have used me. I'm undefeated on the sidelines. Like, yeah, I don't get it. I didn't get what I said.
Yeah, Maryland would have beaten Michigan with this guy there.
The big dog, Rick Jatlish.
We're sorry for your brain, sir. We're sorry that it's that way and that it can't be better.
I can't make you better. The internet 2018.
I can't.
I hear what you're saying. It's not my responsibility to make you a better human or even human.
Nor could I. Given all the time and resources in the world.
I don't have to respect your damaged brain. I don't have to call it an undamaged brain. It's smooth and deformed. That's not my fault.
All right. Let's preview the week. While we're recording this, a game is being played, right?
Correct.
Yep, it's Fun Belt Tuesday. We all love Fun Belt Tuesday. We're not watching Fun Belt Tuesday. We love it so much.
Actually, we're watching it here.
What's the score?
21-9 right now. 21-9 App State over Arkansas State.
already had one kind of amazing moment of disappointment when I saw an older gentleman being led off the field, and the chyron said that he was the director of football operations, and I thought that an administrative staffer had gotten himself ejected from the game, but it turns out he was in some kind of medical distress and was leaving the field to seek treatment. So
I
really thought that some staffer had just like run onto the field.
We're glad he's okay.
No, he was walking. He's fine. Mm-hmm.
I do also.
I wish that he had fought someone. That's all.
Also in this game, Rocky Boyman has said the word height multiple times.
At least twice.
Height.
We need to talk about state schools.
Language evolves. Thursday, October 11th, Texas Tech at TCU. 7:30. One of these teams is going to be fucked.
Oh, why? Why at this point in the season?
I mean, because one of these teams is going to be 4-3 and have to say, shit, we lost to that team. This is the really good part of the calendar, because we're into that. These are the games that are sort of like, all right, you're about to find out which half of the conference you fall into. We have a few other games I think that fit this further down the schedule, but Texas Tech TCU is pretty squarely there on Texas Tech. If Tech wins, Cliff Kingsbury's 4-2, and his next two games are Kansas and Iowa State. He's probably feeling pretty good. If Gary wins, he's 4-2, and now he gets like 9 days to prep for Oklahoma. And if he wins that game, then TCU, even though they've kind of stumbled here and there, they're back in the Big 12 race, and they can sort of say like, oh, our goals still lay ahead of us. I'm going to go sweat through every piece of clothing in this state, et cetera, et cetera. But if you lose this game, well, boy, how's that wheel hanging on? Not great? That's fine. Keep driving on it. It's going to work.
This is the battle for the Liberty Bowl is what you're saying.
Yes.
So in other words, the most intense football game of the year.
Yes. Yes. It's good to see. It's good to see like quiet desperation. This is not a bum fight, but it is like two dads who are down on their luck trying to make a little extra money fight.
I'm just trying to, you know, make the people at the Beckley Kroger proud. That's all I am.
This feels like the 9:45 on December 23rd hot toy at the Kmart fight.
Yes. I promised Baxley I'd get her this. I don't even know what it is, but I can't talk to her anymore. The only way I can show love is through items.
So that to me is, if this is a fight between the two of them, Gary Patterson's coming out of this with the W, right? Because Baxley, if that's little Gary's Baxley.
I don't know.
Think about little Cliff's Kenley.
I know who the better team by the numbers is, by the way. And it ain't Gare Bear.
Right. So I kind of have an iffy feeling about TCU here.
I do too. I think Texas Tech is probably going to take this game, especially because I've seen Texas Tech. They can get some. They're not real consistent, right? Like offensively, they're not real consistent. They don't. I know what I've seen with Texas Tech, that the defense is better than you think it is, and the offense is pretty much what you expect it to be. So, yeah, are we going to hit a scenario where Texas Tech gets to the point where like they got like what? An 8-5 Kingsbury. They're not real sure what to do with him. You're going to have to keep him.
Yeah, you'll stay. You'll stay on that, right?
I mean, it's the question you always have. Who do you get instead? Who's going to do better in Lubbock?
Lane Kiffin!
Christ.
No. Boy, do you want a disaster that ends with a foreclosed home?
I mean, always. But he's already in Boca.
Yeah, Lane's riding around as the masked rider with his penis out again.
Why isn't the national media reporting on this? Lane, that's not how this works.
Lane's hanging brain.
Hashtag come to Lubbock. And we can't. We can't.
This gun's up.
Guns up. So I wasn't on the last episode because, again, I was not pooping the bed, but you said Tennessee was going to beat Auburn.
I most certainly the fuck did not.
Not you, Holly. Spencer did.
I hate you.
I did. And this is actually like,
I hate you.
I think this is a trajectory bet. It's not an average bet. Because Auburn is Auburn's real bad right now. Real. And I know Tennessee's real bad. So that makes this a matchup of real, real bad.
Auburn's good at defense.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. What? How are they going to?
You thought Florida was going to lose to LSU. You're either a terrible poor mouther or you're a shitty analyst.
I have a guess. Let me pick one.
Yeah. Ryan in the back there.
Shitty analyst?
Probably shitty analyst. This is a gut bet. This is a foolish bet, but I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it, dang it.
You're doing this primarily to upset me.
Can we put you need to put some stakes on this. You can't just casually throw out Tennessee beats Auburn and not like put something on it.
Well, I need someone on the other side of this bet.
Chicken bet.
Everyone?
Yeah, chicken bet.
Yeah, you're betting the world.
Or chicken.
You know what?
A chicken?
Jason, what's the line on this game?
It was like 16.
It's up to 18.
It started at 18. It's down to 15.
Oh, it's okay. Down to 15. Okay.
Actually,
okay.
It started at 20. It's down to 15.
It started at 20.
I liked it better at 20.
Jesus. All right, Spencer, we'll do a chicken bet. You can have Tennessee and 15 points, and I'll take Auburn.
All right. No, I'll straight up that.
You stupid asshole.
No. You shouldn't have given him all those points, Ryan. How's Auburn going to get 15 points? Fumble recoveries?
See?
Probably, yes. 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 Have you watched the Tennessee game? Yes.
Bill's numbers have it Auburn by 14.
Georgia scored a touchdown against Tennessee off their own fumble recovery. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. What I'm saying, Tennessee makes points happen. Huh? Huh? Who's smart now? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and take Tennessee and the points against Auburn.
Chicken bet.
Chicken bet.
Chicken bets are just fun because you get chicken. Doesn't really matter.
Okay. That's fine. I would have put cold hard cash on it, but that's illegal and we don't do that.
We wouldn't do that.
So we'll go chicken.
We would definitely never do anything illegal on this podcast.
I don't feel better.
Do you want in?
No, but I was going to say, but I also understand that is expressly not the point of this conversation.
I do want to state that.
Holly said, I feel bad. And Ryan said, do you want chicken? Put some chicken on it.
I mean, that's
that might explain why Ryan was absent last week.
Listen, as a graduate of the Auburn School of Medicine, I teach the I teach the techniques that I was taught. All right.
I would point out, I'm not going to mention any games. This noon slate, go take a look at it.
This is the only noon game we're talking
about. Yeah, it is the only one, because the rest of this noon slate is, it's like archetypically bad.
That this is the only game we're talking about should tell you something about the rest of the noon.
This is as good as it gets, folks.
Chicken bad.
It's so bad that the entire slate should be broadcast on ESPNU. Every game at once.
All at once?
All at just... Overlap them.
Spliced.
Nine screen it if you have to. None of these games deserves more than a ninth of a screen.
Or make some sort of mega chicken bet with them.
Oh, yeah.
Chicken bet parlay.
Ninefecta chicken parlay.
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of a horrible economy destabilizing commodity you just created by making like a nine-team bet? A 19 parlay out of this schedule?
I think you mean a poulet parlay.
Man, if you hit a 19 parlay, they give you a Mrs. Winners.
Welcome to Subprime Spencer, Noon, only on ESPN.
This is Subprime Noon.
You're now a church's franchisee.
Like somewhere Christian Bale's looking at a terminal and going, no, man. It's all coming down. All of it.
But it's all a prelude to Pitt.
Go ahead.
Oh shit! It's at finally here.
Number five, Notre Dame, the Pitmaster.
It's finally Pitmas.
The Pitmaster arises from the recesses of the earth beneath Pennsylvania. The Pitmaster
is now fully powered.
Behold the Pitmaster, controller of chaos, destructor of college football dreams. I come for you, Brian Kelly and the Fighting Irish, the Pitmaster. It's not
a leprechaun voice.
It's not a barbecue thing. I get that it sounds like that.
Dude,
just Brian a big long tube of chaos.
The Pitmaster
hovering over South Bend, ready to make a deposit.
Hey Notre Dame, you want fries with that? Ooh. Excuse me, with that?
Take that,
where at,
40.
Where at now?
Take that, Fording Irish.
Oh wait, we had an important Saturday discussion that we should bring in here. How would I would like to have a free for all for just a minute. How would Dave Wanstead pronounce Josh Heupel?
Jarjarble.
Jarjarble.
I settled on Jort's Tide Pod.
I was told.
Wait, Josh Heupel.
Josh Tide Pod.
Josh Heupel.
I was told that the
Josh.
I said Josh and a couple of
it's Josh. It's definitely Josh.
Josh.
We've made him Indian. He's Josh Heupel.
Josh Heupel.
I was told that the way a pit person would actually say it, that Josh was pretty close. But that there wouldn't even be an L, that it would be Heupel. which is funnier than anything we made up, right? Josh Heupel.
Josh Heupel.
Heupel.
Josh, yeah. So yeah, Pitt's fully charged. They're gonna beat Notre Dame. We've been calling this for like 6 months at this point.
At least.
And if they don't beat Notre Dame, it's because they secretly transferred their powers to Syracuse.
That's right.
They did go to overtime or whatever last week, so there could have been the brass knucks could have changed hands when the ref wasn't looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could have been some sort of negotiation with Syracuse going, listen, we'll let you have this one, but you have to give us the pit charge, right? So we can carry it to the Notre Dame game. Because we can't, I bet that was it. It's like the end of Ragnarok, right? Like, listen, man, we can't beat her. Right.
So we can get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, but what we can do is we can enable this mystical beast, Pitt.
Does the beast win championships? No, just real big, real thick legged.
All it's here to, like, Pitt is just like Surtur, right? It's just there to destroy one thing, Asgard, which, like Notre Dame, filled mostly with white cops.
And it needs its fitted hat to do that.
Yeah, see? All works out.
And we'd rather see it obliterated than let the woman who is rightly designated to rule it have her way.
It is the most sexist movie.
Shout out Virgin Mary.
I'm here to rule. No, no,
no, no.
God,
burn.
The world.
She's so emotional.
She is pretty mean.
I mean, she's very mean.
But that's her whole job.
She's the goddess of death.
She's the goddess of death. You can't. It's not a nice job.
Also, she loves animals.
I'm going to start calling myself goddess of death, and then I can do whatever I want.
Please do.
Okay.
You would be the most, like, show up on the sidelines at a Kennesaw State game dressed as the goddess of death.
With that.
Dressed as Hela, yeah.
I'll wear the exact same get up as her, the antlers and everything.
Y'all got a similar bone structure.
So's high cheekbones.
Yeah.
Jason Kirk, the Cate Blanchett of the Shutdown Fullcast.
Thank you. I'm the Dennehy.
That's all right, buddy. Character actors. Who cares if we eat?
Yeah, they get all the funny scenes with the pooping.
See?
Pitt's going to win the football game. Pitt's going to win the football game.
Do we think there's any...
Pitt has won the football game.
Do we think there's any logical reason that they should win the football game? No.
Fuck no.
No, absolutely none. Not. But we've seen Pitt do this before.
Yep. And therefore it
with
will
Miami,
happen.
With Clemson, with Miami.
With West Virginia.
And to quote Ragnarok again, with Brian West Virginia, Kelly is just the worst.
Yeah. They are. The worst. Okay. I put next on here, I put Michigan State. Why? Versus,
why?
Versus number 8 Penn State.
The so, Spencer game okay. of the week.
Yeah.
Because I think because no,
the trophy is a is like 5 different things you can find at a yard sale stacked on top of each other.
I think what you find at a Michigan State, I think the Michigan State Penn State rivalry trophy is just like the cheap speed that they sell at the counter at convenience stores, right? Because if you
the
make
battle
that,
for the heirlooms,
yeah, that's it. I think this is strictly a game that, by the way, is like, I think this is another in or out game, right? This is another sorting hat game.
Yeah, to some extent, yeah.
Michigan State's out
because either one of like a loss for either one of these teams changes the entire complexion of the season, right? It puts them exactly where they are. If Penn State wins, and by all rights they should win this game, they are a vastly superior football team on paper and mostly on the field. Something that has not always mattered when Michigan State plays a football game. If they win, then yeah, I mean, they're still alive for some stuff, right? Even with the loss to Ohio State. If Michigan State loses, we're just in crap town. Like, we're already kind of listing toward crap town. We're definitely like firmly on the road with no exit ramps to crap town at this point.
Slouching towards Bethlehem.
Yeah, exactly. Beast Lansing. That's what this game is. So I put it on there, even though if you've watched Michigan State, what is a cry for help when Brian Lewerke throws 51 passes against Northwestern? That is a cry for help from Michigan State. It's Mark D'Antonio saying, I'm not okay.
And I never will be.
So that's the Michigan State story.
Michigan State football. I'm not okay. And I never will be. Next.
Next, we got a big game. I'll be goddamn, we got a big game. We got number 2 Georgia. One of several number 2 teams in the state of Georgia. It's going to LSU. It's like a 9-point favorite, 8-point favorite.
That it dropped. It dropped to quite like 7.
I see no reason Georgia will dick around and fuck this up for themselves.
Nope. Never done that.
Pretty high expectations for the Georgia Bulldogs in a big game that everyone's going to be watching.
I'm sure they'll be fine.
Everyone will see what they do.
Maybe they'll wear black jerseys.
LSU does wear white at home, so it is an option.
See? What would be more opponent?
Grambling is on the way. They could stop and borrow those helmets again. Grambling might not actually be on the way.
I would point this out that the Florida loss for LSU, it's kind of some overdue rent, right? Like LSU'd kind of been making it work with not quite as many ingredients as they needed, and the Florida loss makes sense in retrospect when you go, yeah, you're kind of playing it a little close. That's gonna happen, right? Make a couple of turnovers. Also, prior to that point, Joe Burrow hadn't thrown a pick. So, yeah, it makes some sense when you go, this is just like math. And
it makes plenty of sense.
Yeah. What would not make sense to me would be LSU beating Georgia. Because do you want to know where LSU sits in terms of S&P?
Like 18 or so. Is that right?
They are one spot below the Auburn Tigers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You feeling worse about this game for LSU?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm feeling better for me.
It's not as bad as you think. It's still not as good as it should be.
Although invoking Auburn somehow is going to make Georgia fans more nervous.
Are they here?
Who? Don't talk about them!
Are they at this party? Can you hide me?
Can you hide me? Quick, eat my whole body.
LSU fans, sure.
Mike the Tiger, okay.
That's why they have him. He's
Every
there in
LSU
case.
LSU fan is, oh, so this is Kirby Smart meets Kirby from Nintendo. Open up, let me in.
I'm a walk-in closet you can carry around.
But, yeah, I don't, I'm not real worried about this game for Georgia. I'm not. It's just Georgia does the same thing every game. They're one of those teams that is so good at this point that they don't have to play different kinds of games, right? Like, well, we got to win this shootout. How are you going to win it? Same way we win everything else. We just play defense and run the crap out of the ball. Jake Fromm throws like some timely passes every now and then. He's pretty consistent. Otherwise, we just do what we want.
Boy, if there's one team that's really going to challenge your play defense and run the ball narrative. Ooh, LSU. Boy, ooh. Clash of styles.
Out of their depth there.
Spencer, I think you put this next game on as 3:30 a.m., so please explain.
Oh, fuck yeah. That would be awesome.
It's happening at 3:30 a.m.
Okay. So 3:30 in the morning this Saturday, Texas A&M plays South Carolina on the road.
You know what time Aggie fans would get up for their, like, 10 minutes hate? Like they do, like, what is midnight. 18 hours before a game?
It's always midnight for every game.
They do that shit at, like, 5 p.m.
Noon yell!
Noon yell. It's time for happy hour scream.
Happy hour
mad.
By the way, I did leave out one little note for Georgia, just in case you were like looking for a ray of hope for LSU. Do you know where Georgia is in terms of sacks?
No.
They're 116th in the country. They don't sack the quarterback. So like, I don't know. Like if you want like a little bit of hope, LSU, there's that.
Don't hurt Joe Burrow.
Yeah. Apologies. I'll get right back to making fun of Texas A&M and their fight song, which has the same BPM as Bad Romance. If you haven't seen Cuppy Cup's video of the Bad Romance video synced to the Texas A&M fight song, watch it. It's one of the high points of 21st century culture. Not a real high bar, but it's still there.
Lady Giggum.
See, this is why we wanted you on the microphone.
I was just thinking the same thing. Think how many people would have last week would have listened and like, what? Why are they laughing?
What? Who?
I would just like to point out that nobody ever asked me whether I even wanted a microphone.
We just turn it on.
Now that you have one, we can hear your answer.
Oh. And the Aggies.
That is your misfortune.
And the Aggies have been on the edge of glory for like, I don't know, 70 years running.
And it's, man, you want to talk about bad romance.
You can't keep this going.
No, I can't.
Combo broken.
Okay.
Got to two.
Great news. You can also hear the shutdown full cat.
Yeah, this is Texas A&M South Carolina. I'm enjoying the South Carolina team devolving into full Muschamp.
Oh, are you? That's
weird. Oh god, it's so good.
Big change for Spencer here.
Every game makes no sense. None. Not mathematically, not in terms of how it plays out. The mistakes are all the same and yet different in different combinations.
We're putting a fullback at quarterback and he's only going to throw bubble screens.
And it'll kind of work for two quarters.
And I'm telling you, we're doing that now. We don't care. Come after us.
And the only thing, like, there's absolutely no reason why you should try to predict what's going to happen in this football game. Just none. You have like a rebuilding Texas A&M team that's been playing, you know, better. And you have a South Carolina team that's going full Muschamp, right?
No, Texas A&M is going to lose this game because what's the story of Texas A&M so far? They played Clemson really close. They didn't play Bama all that close, but Bama is Bama. And other than that, they've had a good season. And it's time to put a little pop in that balloon. And that's what a Will Muschamp team does, right?
Are you saying these are clean sheets and a disturbed bowel and it's time to shit this bed?
Again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, clear it all. You know what? You know what? Yes. It's time to shit the bed. Yes.
It's just like a collie. It looks
my
so pretty. And at one point,
of Ryan's.
At one point, that collie is just going to hunker down. Poop
hashtag
in your front yard.
Put shit in.
nothing makes sense about the South Carolina season, and that's a delight. I'm all for it. I'm 100% for the inevitable defeat that South Carolina is going to hand. I feel like the score, it's a prime number score. This is feeling like 23-19. Does that feel good?
That's kind of a lot, but sure.
Turnovers.
Let's also agree that this is technically a week one game that was played in the wrong time. Because yes. this is an extremely week one game.
We always talk about Will Muschamp breaking math. Man, Will Muschamp's going to break time this week. He's taking it all the way back to week one.
We're 0-0 as far as I'm concerned.
He'd say that because he doesn't know what week it is.
Is that like a motivational thing? No.
We're going for 1-0 this week. I don't know what our record is.
I can't be left around food or I'll eat myself to death.
I'm like a goat in airs.
You heard it, folks. Spencer just said Will Muschamp is the goat.
He's the goat. He is a goat. He's the goat in Air Jordans, buddy.
I like how in this time slot, we talked about several games, other big ones. So let's get to like the ninth biggest game in this time slot, basically the Pac-12 North Championship. Most important game in an entire division will be totally buried by like Texas A&M and Michigan State.
Yeah.
And Washington and Oregon. It'll be really great. Maybe you should watch it. It'll probably be better than Georgia LSU.
A bitter rivalry that only works in 20-year cycles. We hate you so much that we beat you for 20 straight years. And then we turn it over for another 20. This is the opposite of the Florida-Rosedale issue, right? If there were a rivalry trophy, they would forget what it was. Because it overturned.
It's a rivalry with like presidential terms.
Yeah. Or almost like Supreme Court terms. Basically, kind of like some sort of totem where they're like, we have forgotten what the Key of Rich Brooks looks like. But the Key of Rich Brooks is a totem that we handed to Washington many years ago. Some say it has mystical powers.
It's a 7-iron.
It's a 7-iron with a trout inlay. Beautifully carved trout inlay. This is a game where my note for this was that this is where you remember that football is a team sport, because if I told you the quarterbacks and showed you film and pictures of either of them, you would go, yeah, Oregon's winning this thing by 21, man.
I like your use of pictures there.
Oh, what? If I took like a straight up photo of Justin Herbert and Jake Browning, yeah. You'd be like, dude, that Justin Herbert's going to beat him by 400 points.
Just show me a photo of Justin Herbert dropping back. I'm like, quarterback. And show me Jake Browning and like, knuckleballer.
Like, is that an H-back that they just put back there?
So mean. We're so mean to that.
Is that one of Hawaii's fake quarterbacks?
Nope, that's the current Pac-12 yardage leader. Career.
Gets it done.
That's Washington great.
Washington great and TD record holder Jake Browning. Who looks like 60% of the physical specimen that Justin Herbert looks like, and they'll probably win this game by one score still, because that's just what Washington's doing this year.
QB wins. He must be better.
That's throw the ball into this mailbox from 30 yards. We'll be here for a very long time, Jake. A very long time. Doesn't matter.
Whatever, haters.
Yeah. Washington wins this, looks aside. Oregon's improving. They still have a ways to go. Because
I don't know. I got the Ducks. I'll take the Ducks.
Oh, you take the Ducks.
And by so doing, Jason is also signing up for the deluge of the Pac-12 is out of the playoffs posts.
That's mainly why.
You're responsible for all of them. Congratulations.
Mainly why. Also, mainly, I think we've talked about this 3 or 4 times, but sure. Mainly, I like this just because this is the Pac-12 scheduling game of the year. You have Washington coming straight off of travel all the way to Los Angeles. That's pretty far. And they turn around and have immediately, quite arguably, their toughest conference game of the year. Nice job, Pac-12. You did it again.
Proud.
I believe Washington's favored by 3.
Sounds about right.
In this game.
I didn't actually bet on it, but I'll just say I'm taking Oregon.
What did you bet on?
Well, this brings us to the Sandman's Global Seed Vault Lock of the Week.
Ka-chunk! Ka-chunk! We will bring humanity back from the brink.
That's how much money we're going to make off this game. Baylor opened as a 17-point underdog at Texas. 17 points. According to the advanced stats, it should be more like 9 or 10. So, hope you grab that. If not, it's still floating around 14, 15, 16. It's still quite generous. Texas got really inflated by putting 48 highly turnover assisted points on one of the world's worst defenses. Like, you, Kyler Murray literally laid the football on the ground with his hand and someone else picked it up, and Texas got points off that against Oklahoma's, like, what, number 101 defense. And because of this, Texas is now number 9 in the polls. Computers say it should be more, depending on the computer. The Massey Composite has Texas at like 15th. S&P Plus has them not quite 15th, we'll just say. Actually, I'm looking. 38th is the spot. The numbers are not quite as impressed with Texas as the human eyeballs are. For that case, that was me banging the Bears, banging the button for the Bears. I'll do it. I'll bang the Bears. it's fat bear week.
It's fat, yeah. Like, you're gonna turn back now.
We've come this far.
You're midstream with the bear. Catch this salmon of meaning and put it into your gullet.
They said that bear weighs 409 pounds. How could you not?
I do want
to. I'll take Baylor to get Texas in some trouble here.
Can I be the hype man for your bet? Say that again.
The whole thing? I'll take Baylor in the points.
And the fucking points! It's Tom Herman, who in Stephen Godfrey's profile of Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Houston Rockets and also a major University of Houston booster, there's a scene in which Tillman Fertitta is addressing the team, and Tillman Fertitta, being a rich guy, says this, and I'm everywhere, flying all over the country. I got two of those G5s, you know, Fertitta says. Fuck yeah! A voice in the crowd booms. It's Tom Herman.
The dude likes planes.
That's all Tom Herman does is cuss loudly in this profile. It's amazing. He's like, Tillman Fertitta at one point goes, yeah, I changed the bylaws. And in the back, like the hype man that he's trying to be, Tom Herman goes, change the fucking bylaws! So
you can read all this by NBA beat writer Stephen Godfrey at SBNation.com.
Also check out
Podcast Ain't Play Nobody, a NBA marriage of basketball and hoops.
If you really want to scream obscenities, consider the following. West Virginia.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. West Virginia led by 25 at the half against Texas Tech. They won by 8. West Virginia let Kansas hang around late into the third quarter in a one-score game. Now they're going to Ames at night while they're the only undefeated team in the Big 12.
It's fine.
What do you think's going to happen?
It's all fine.
I'm sorry. That's national turnover margin leader Kansas.
Okay. Okay.
I think it'll be a totally sensible, rational game. I mean, it's not like the internet gave this series the nickname the Riot Bowl or anything.
I actually think it'll be fine, but
it probably will. But if you wanted to like set up all of the like, oh, you broke a mirror and walked under a ladder and in front of a black cat and said Candyman three, like all of it is this game.
I get why people overestimate the threat, right? Like, isn't this a big like Daniel Kahneman theory and
nothing
economics.
Dana Holgerson fears more than clean water.
Right. Like
you brush your teeth with what?
Fish poop in that. That's why I stick to apple cider.
The clear stuff. You mean vodka. You don't.
But yeah, like, you know, people have a real hard time.
You can't start a lawnmower with it. Dana's not bathing in it.
Kills the germs.
Start your lawnmower. What more can you ask?
Spice must flow.
Duda Holgerson.
But yeah, like I think this is one of the, like, people can't tell the difference in threat between 1 in 100,000 and 1 in 10,000, right? Which is kind of like why Ames gets this reputation for like, it's a night game at Ames. You're like, it's not a It's not really a thing.
So wait, are you using to be clear, you're talking about gamblers misunderstanding the odds to explain why Dana Holgorsen isn't fucked.
That and people overestimating the reputation of certain places as being freakishly difficult at night, you know, like it's you're still probably going to beat them. Like it's probably going to happen. Okay. They're a better team.
Okay.
Which leads us to motherfucker, you're going to Berkeley.
Why is this? Who put this on?
I did.
Damn it, Ryan.
You know what? You're not going to damn it, Ryan, me after you put a Michigan State game at 3:30 on this schedule.
Dude, that game actually has meaning.
What? In what way? UCLA, in Cal. What way? In what
one
way?
One team gets a shelf trophy.
That's right. One team gets a Sheets gift card.
You got a broken armoire.
What does UCLA Cal get? Nothing.
Listen. I set this up earlier. We were talking about how we have games on the schedule that sort of sort you like, hey, you'll be like eating in the top half of your conference and feeling okay about where you stand, or you'll be in the bottom half and you're fucked. And I think this is that game. This is a perfect example of that game because UCLA, yes, they are winless, but their schedule has been...
so is everyone else in the Pac-12.
Yeah, there's that. But they've had an extremely difficult schedule to start the year, and they're starting to look towards the easier part of it. And they're coming off at least a better, even though they didn't win, a better competitive performance against Washington.
Do you mean a better loss?
It is a better... Was it not a better loss?
Coming off a compelling loss.
Okay.
This Pac-12 South team faces another.
They got the
shit
kicked out of them by Fresno State. And then they made Washington work.
Tell me every team Cal's beaten this season.
BYU.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. BYU again.
BYU, UNC, Idaho State. How many points? Which of those teams did they put up 25 points or more against?
I believe they scored 27 in one of those games.
Idaho State.
They scored 45 points against Idaho State. They beat UNC by a touchdown. They beat BYU by 3 points. They got stoned by Oregon, and they lost to Arizona.
So you're saying Chip Kelly's going to win a football game?
No, I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm saying,
he's going to come even closer to winning a football game.
I'm saying this is either the point where we find out that UCLA hasn't been terrible, they've just been way overmatched, and this is where they can sort of show momentum, do the Bert Vember thing where, like, oh, you turned it around, progress.
Chiptober. It's Chiptober.
We'll ignore what it actually means. Or
Chipoween.
Or we are on to the worst UCLA season in, like, 40 years. If they can't,
well, I think it's probably both, right?
If they can't beat Cal, UCLA has won at least 4 games every year since 1989.
That is a dark record.
If they can't beat Cal, I really don't think they'll get there.
Buddy, I'm going to go ahead and put it on the table. I think you can cut that vegan turkey because this is going to be Thanksgiving.
Listen, it pains me to say this. I think Justin Wilcox might be onto something there.
That's fine.
Oh, I think they're good. Yeah.
I got to ease into this one. Okay. Memories.
If I say a good Cal team, doesn't that mean like a bad good team? That means like the best.
Okay. So you're still saying like Cactus Bowl.
It's the
tops.
the best expired goods on the shelf.
But isn't it wild that Chip Kelly was widely regarded as the best coach available on the market this last offseason? Am I wrong?
I mean, I think he was the one everybody knew.
Was he the one that everybody was the most interested in? Who was more enticing to the programs that were looking for a coach?
Well, Florida tried to hire him,
and
but they couldn't.
And didn't.
I think Frost is probably like for college people.
Right, but Scott Frost is rightfully getting a lot of shit at Nebraska for not getting a win.
Yeah, but with Chip, I remember mostly being like bemused that he wants to go back to recruiting.
Well, arguably he's not.
That's fair.
So it's an interesting strat. Listen, either we're going to find out that Chip Kelly is turning things around and UCLA is in safe hands, or, oh God, Chip Kelly's about to go 2-10 at UCLA.
I think it's both.
Do we know?
I mean, their
about...
young quarterback looked pretty good against Washington last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their defense didn't look terrible. Of course,
no.
It's giving up the 28 to Washington is kind of a lot.
my concern,
but still,
with
I think UCLA can step forward, can take a step forward over the last 2 months and probably still not win many more than two games.
Okay,
like Ryan, I guess my concern with placing this kind of, like, I get what you're saying, but my concern with placing this kind of value on this game is that we're dealing with a fairly new regime at Cal itself and a team that I don't know. I don't know if we have enough of a bead on Cal to be able to say, like, okay, this is an orientation point for UCLA.
But, okay, is it for Cal then? If they can't win this game, what does that mean for Justin?
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Okay. I think the reverse is true, yeah.
I think what's important is that it's all Jim Mora's fault.
100% for both teams.
How good is that when they come back to break with Mora on commentary? If it's a UCLA game, you're like, ah, these guys look like mule shit.
They should just put that on the Chiron. Just be like, Jim Mora pooped the bed.
Jim Mora coached this awful team last year. He made this. This is his class project, and he failed.
Those guys, they're playing sad because they miss me.
Jim Mora did this with a first-round quarterback, too.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
he did.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe you put this shit on.
I'm sorry. Move on to the game that you want
to
yell
listen
about.
Listen to what that guy just said, and then listen to what
Ole Miss Arkansas!
What the fuck is wrong with this guy?
So loud.
I was waiting for that turn so long.
You smell weird.
Ryan, no. How dare you put this on the schedule? Ole Miss Arkansas!
I love this game because these are two twins who hate each other.
Oh, this game does nothing but cause... There is no joy in this game. There's just anger and pain.
This came out the womb punching each other and gouging eyes.
It's not even like it's like good old-fashioned hate where these two teams really hate each other. No, they hate this. They hate this specific thing. It's
I
like
hate living with you, Phil. I hate living with you, Bill.
It's like taking two cats to the vet in one crate. The pointy treats bowl.
Everybody gets shots and there's no ice cream afterwards. Ole Miss Arkansas.
Everybody gets shot?
That's what I was gonna say.
Everybody
no, that
gets
seems
shot.
Way more likely an App State Arkansas state.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas.
Yeah, I don't think Ole Miss fans have guns.
They don't know how to use them. They're all ancestral and they've never been loaded.
Yeah, yeah.
This is for trap shooting.
Man, not to invoke jacking off onto a picture of Cecil the Lion.
What
again.
The fuck?
Right.
Were you not?
I see where you're going with this. I don't.
Yeah, if I can give you like the last 5 years of this rivalry alone, which have been traumatic for everyone involved. Like everyone had a bad time, and no one learned anything. That's basically
it. I had a great time. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, this is the wedding you want to go to where you're not that close to anybody. Where you're like, let's see what
you're
happens
not that
here.
Close to anybody, but you see the bride is wearing clear platform heels and you're like, let's see where this goes.
Huh, she's got fish in her shoes. This is going to be good.
Let's go the last 3 years of this, okay? Arkansas somehow, okay, despite being in football purgatory, Burkatory.
You'll get there. Keep going.
Move it along, counselor.
No, no. Yeah. Despite being bad, has won this game 4 years in a row, with the last three coming by the scores of 38, 37, 34, 30, and 53, 52. Were any of those games actually of significance?
Yes. Yes. One of them effectively put Alabama in the national championship game.
Oh, really?
Or in the playoff.
Weird. Yeah, in 2015, the stupidest game of the entire year, the 4th-and-25 bounce game, put Alabama eventually in the national title game.
How'd that
and
work?
And then in 2016, that was also decided by a bounce.
And that hard work towards a championship goal got Brett Bielema a job with the New England Patriots.
And then in 2017, Arkansas ran a trick play where the big quarterback pretended to dribble the ball while walking backwards on fourth down, and it didn't work.
That's the best part, is that that's the devil's game, right? Where nobody has fun. Arkansas Ole Miss ended. Everyone was confused and terrified. And then they all went, oh, Alabama's in the championship. Like the worst of all outcomes. All in one game.
I'm watching the GIFs from last year's game. They're, Arkansas fumbled. Ole Miss swears it recovered it. And there's an Ole Miss dude running down the field with his hand in the air while the ball's still bouncing around behind him. A bunch of hogs pouncing on it while dude's running around like, yeah, we got the ball.
This game is like watching a carny pay for his kid to play a game that he rigged. You're just like, come on, man. What are you doing?
All I'm saying,
he's like, crying and you're throwing dollars away.
The game where last year, the deciding play, Ole Miss iced Arkansas's kicker 3 times and it didn't work.
To what result?
Just 7 minutes of watching Arkansas's kicker.
So when we say right now, college football, not a particularly competitive sport, not a lot of parity. There's one really good team and everybody else is just kind of scrapping after that.
That was a great game for the Arkansas kicker's mom.
How do you find joy? Where do you find real wonder in the sport?
Is this an ad read?
Right here.
Oh, God damn it.
Right here at Arkansas, Mississippi. Okay. You learn to take joy in things like this where you go, neither one of these teams will enjoy it. They'll both get better after this game, but this will make them sick. It will be the illness that strengthens them later on.
It's emotional bankruptcy for men.
They're both going to shit the bed.
What if a promise ring could be a football game?
This game's my high school boyfriend or girlfriend. Yeah, and by the way, both teams, like, of the two teams, which one is improving? Arkansas.
Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure?
Yeah, but I mean, they started pretty low.
Okay. They covered against Alabama. Ole Miss.
They scored 31 points on Alabama. They made Nick Saban authentically angry.
Yeah.
They had 400 yards of offense.
In as much as he can be said to be authentically anything.
Calculating.
Recalculating.
I killed Geppetto and I don't regret it.
Nick, that live mic is live. Yeah, Arkansas is looking like a better offense. Their defense is I don't.
They weren't bad against Texas A&M.
It's not that terrible.
Yeah, it's not. You make it sound abjectly miserable, and it's not.
I'm looking at S&P Plus. Their defense is 51st.
Okay.
Worst in hell, okay. Spencer.
Damn it. Their special teams, though. Whew, buddy, that's where the real treat is. I mean, you saw the famous explosion, the North Texas punt return. That was not atypical.
Yeah, and you know, there's something really hopeless and bad about a team that has bad special teams, right? It's like a team that doesn't pay bills on time, right?
Come on.
Like, hey, we're going to be all right this month. You know, we owe $900 to the phone company, right?
It's a team that doesn't pay bills on time, but has a steady job, and there's no reason why they shouldn't.
Right, right. Like,
but ain't we got love?
Should we? We got 2 whole games to go.
Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin plays Michigan. They're both in the top 15. This is going to be a 7-Eleven prepackaged sandwich of a game.
There's
going to be way too much mayonnaise on it, and you're going to feel somebody's going to feel kind of sick, and you're going to wonder why anybody bothered in the first place.
And then they'll shit the bed.
And someone's going to shit the bed.
Have you noticed that Paul Christ is aging into an avatar of Barry Alvarez?
Oh, God.
Do you think Barry gives him surgeries each offseason? Just doing some tinkering with the old face.
Barry Alvarez, yeah. Planting blind items. This man spent $3 million to look like Barry Alvarez.
He does look more and
not
more
like those married couples who start to resemble each other. It's what I was thinking.
He does look more and more Wisconsin with every single passing year, and gets caught on camera in his, like, you know, relatively, like, Paul Crest doesn't look like a guy who's just, you know, dropping F-bombs left and right. But every now and then.
No, but he was on a streak on Saturday.
Yeah, there's just gifs of him going like, fuck that guy.
Fuck those motherfuckers, he said after a touchdown.
That's right.
And of course, in the Orange Bowl when he said, turnover chain my ass.
which I know he says like in the manner of a man shooing a raccoon away with a garden hose in the dead of winter, right?
Side selling my ass.
Bread is extra my ass.
Goddamn Packers. Gonna waste Aaron Rodgers' whole career. Those raccoons are back by the cans again, Janice. Don't make me get my damn gun.